Good morning. Happy New Year. And happy sick season. I know there's a lot of people that are dealing with all sorts of sicknesses. We're at that time of year. So as we always do, let me go through a couple of announcements. Let me start with one that I want to make sure you see in the bulletin, and I don't know if you were watching the announcements as they were going through. Tonight we will resume our Sunday evening Bible study, 6 o'clock. I know it was on the one slide twice, and that's because, I'll be perfectly honest with you, Ken Sears had himself scheduled to be here tonight. He's not going to be here tonight now. We worked something out because we weren't quite ready for him. We didn't know he was coming, so he will not be coming tonight. So we will start our Bible study this evening at 6 o'clock. Ken Sears will be coming later. He'll be coming in February, and the only evening that he had available, you guessed it, Super Bowl Sunday. but I'm going to try to get him arranged to be here early enough in the evening that you can come out. Hopefully, even it'll be early enough that it'll be light. You don't have to worry about driving in the dark, but we'll get those details back to you. I'm just giving you full disclosure. The reason we originally said that Bible study would start on the 12th was because we were expecting, it sounded like Ken Sears was going to be here tonight. So, we'll start Bible study tonight, 6 o'clock. We are starting fresh. We have finished one study. I know some people were saying, I forgot what are we studying? Well, we haven't decided what we're studying. So, come tonight, we'll figure that out, and we'll know what we can start studying beginning next week then. If you notice that next Saturday, or this coming Saturday, we've got a couple things happening. In the morning, we're going to take all the decorations down. And then at 9 o'clock, and then later in the afternoon, 3 to 5, is the secret PAL reveal. It's going to happen from 3 to 5. So if you're a part of that secret PAL process, and you want to find out who was your secret PAL, come to that T from 3 to 5. Mark your calendars about the congregational meeting. That's on January 26th, later at the end of this month. So any other? Yes. Oh, okay. Okay, so right after church, if you would be willing, help bring the boxes up, the empty boxes up, so that we can have them up here for the undecorating on Saturday then. So just need a couple of helpful hands to run down and bring up the empty boxes, right? Okay, any others? Any other schedules or announcements that we need to? Okay, well then let's prepare ourselves for worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity to come together to worship you, to come together as a family of believers, to lift up our praise, to give you all of the praise and the worship for which you are so deserving. We just come to you humbly because we know this hour is about you, not about us. And so, Father, I pray that whatever we do here this morning would be to your honor and to your glory, and that it would just praise you, and you would feel the praise, and that you would feel blessed by our praise. I just ask you to be an active part of this worship service this morning. Send your Holy Spirit to be active among us here as we praise you and as we listen to you and as we remember you later. We pray it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'll ask you to stand if you're able for our call to worship. And I chose a set of verses from Psalm that sort of remind me of a kind of a year-end recognition, a year-end tally of blessings. And I want you to think back about your year, your 2024, and just how many blessings you received from God. I'm reading from Psalm 65, and I'm starting in verse 9, where it says, "You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year." Here's the, like, this is at this idea of this year-end bounty. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. So again, as we sing our praises this morning, just think about how God has abundantly blessed you this past year.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. Give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your glorious name.
Hey, take a moment to greet your neighbor and remind them that God is able. As you find your way back to your seats, there was one announcement I did forget to mention. I have had another person approach me about membership, so I did want to mention again, if there's anybody else, I want to have a membership class now. I have at least two who are interested in joining, so if there's anybody else who would like to become a member, we'd love to have you as a member. So just have like two classes, two nights of about hour and a half, 2 hours each, just to go over things. Make sure you really do want to be a member and that you believe the things that we, that are the vital things that you need to believe and so forth. So please approach me soon if you're interested in participating in a membership class, and we'll get that scheduled. So let's take a moment now to lift. Well, first of all, let's lift up some praises. First of all, we want to praise God again for the talent that he gives different people. I don't know if you noticed that there was one component of our band missing. He's sick, but the guys that still played did a wonderful job. If you agree, give God some glory. Amen. It's that season. Sicknesses are going around, but they did a wonderful job of leading us in making a joyful noise to the Lord. So any other praises that we have? Anything else we want to share? Yes, good. Yeah,
okay, I just wanted to report that Daryl's procedure went very, very well.
Good.
Yeah, so now he just has to, it was a pacemaker for those who don't know, he had to get his pacemaker replaced. It's larger, but it should last for like 10 years, hopefully, if there's no recalls again. But anyways, so yeah, he just has to heal and rest and just pray for no infections.
Yes, well,
thank you for your prayers.
Yeah, praise the Lord that everything went so well. Yeah, we hope we'll pray that the recovery goes just as well. Any other praises? We got one back here. Donna. Thank you. Right there.
The praise of family. We had a lot of company over Christmas, and it was just wonderful one-on-one time catching up. So
yeah, good.
The praise of family.
Yeah. Was there another one? Yes, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
A few things. First of all, John's mom's surgery went well this week.
And, praise the Lord for that as well.
Hopefully within the next day or two, she might be able to come home. Okay. And then also a praise for just, we've had new volunteers that are helping with the kids' ministries, and they started up today. So just thank you for the urge or the call to help with that. And as always, if anybody else is interested, just let us know, and we'd be happy to plug you in to help with the children. So.
Yes. Any other praises and or prayer requests?
I guess this seems sort of like a normal, everyday type of a praise. But along with family, my sons have just really helped us out a lot with some physical things around the house that are getting harder for us to do. Like the one painted the ceiling. And, they just are there whenever we need them to do whatever. And I'm just really thankful that they're willing to still help their parents.
Well, that's one thing that we talked about in one of our classes a couple of weeks ago. Nothing's too small. I mean, we when I'm up here asking for praises, I'm not looking for super spectacular flashes of light. I mean, we need to recognize that so many things like that just that are in our everyday lives are blessings from God. He's given us everything, and so it's just a great way to recognize and to remember his involvement through family members, through friends, whatever. So, any other praises or any other prayer requests? Yep.
Hey, we take Nathan back today, so just prayers for safe travels, and then that he has a successful semester and just, does well and learns things. So,
we're waiting for that. The potluck dinner where he gives us all of the special desserts. I think that's the right field. Am I right? Yeah. So, any other prayer requests? Okay. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, you heard the praises. We have so many things that we can be thankful for, and that we take for granted. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll open up our hearts, open our eyes to recognize all those things that we just are routine. We take them for granted. We don't think about it. Help us to stop and to think about just how involved you are and how you have given us the air we breathe, the muscles, the strength in our bodies to get up and take a walk, and our minds to listen and to figure things out. So just so much that we are thankful for, Lord. We thank you for for successful surgeries. We pray for successful healing and rehab. We thank you for the successful surgery or appointments and things that we've heard about, and we know we've got some still coming up. I know Marlene has one coming up that she got through one, and she's got another one coming, so we do want to keep her in mind. And I think I forgot about her last week, but Father, I know that you know, and you heard the request, and even in my weakness, you're still strong. And so, Father, I just want to pray especially for the McKelveys, for Nathan, for all the family as they travel to take him back to school. We ask you to guide them safely there and back. And then, of course, too, we ask your blessing on his semester, that he will just have a semester full of learning, of course, but also of being able to enjoy this period of growth, this period of his life where he's just growing in wisdom and in stature. And we just thank you, Lord, for the way you're involved in so many things in our lives, especially the way you provide for us. Father, we thank you for your income that you provide for us. We've given a portion back as a token of thanks, as a token of worship, not because it's on our budget, not because we feel like we have to, but because we want to. We want to thank you for giving it to us in the first place. It was all yours, and you've given it to us to use, to be stewards of. And so we've given a portion back, Lord, and I ask that you would accept it and bless it and use it to further your kingdom and to further your church. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in singing our first hymn then? Another Year is Dawning. So this morning, my question for you is, what's new with you guys? I already said Happy New Year. It's a period of time when we start thinking about new. We just celebrated Christmas, although that is so last year. But I'll bet you got some new things, right? You probably got some new clothing, maybe some new jewelry. Power tools, guys, maybe you got some new power tools. Kids got new video games or new electronics of some kind. Yeah, all right. Yeah, something new. Yep, it's all back here. Some new stuff? Yeah, okay. And now we're in a new year, right? I hope you've flipped your calendar, if you still use calendars. And then how many of you are still typing 2024 when you're on the computer? You know, I caught myself the other day writing a check, and I had to stop because I almost wrote 2024 on the check. I know some of you don't even use checks anymore. But and then how many of you have made new resolutions? How many of you have made the same resolution you made last year? I know we talked about this a little bit last week. Last year's resolutions didn't last very long, so maybe you're trying them again this year. And I used a line last Sunday that I really like, so like a typical dad, I'm going to wear it out. I said that our resolutions seem to go in one year and out the other. Yeah, okay. And that's the last time I'll use it, at least for another year anyway. Now, I know we talked about that resolution thing last week, but I'm bringing it up again just to make a point. And that point is that we get ourselves into a routine, don't we? We make a promise to ourselves, I'm really going to do it this year, but then we don't. A new year comes around, I'm really going to do it, but we don't. It's kind of like what the Israelites were going through year after year, and here's what I mean. I don't think it's too much of a stretch, my segue here, but here's what I'm talking about. Each year, the Israelites would say, well, I'm really going to obey God this year. I'm really going to do it, but they didn't. And so they would offer an atoning sacrifice, a sacrifice that was meant to make things right again with God. But it only covered the previous year. So each year they had to do it all over again. Well, today we're going to be partaking in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And as we start a new year, we're going to remember Jesus' words, what he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." But before we observe the new covenant, we're going to talk a little bit about what's new about the new covenant. The new covenant was and is different from the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. So let's take a look at some of the differences. Today I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 13. And before I get started here, just the context leading up to it, The writer, the author of Hebrews, is talking about Jesus as the ultimate high priest and how he compares to our earthly high priests. But starting in verse 6, he says, "But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs," the earthly high priest, "it's as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises." So it says he's a mediator. A mediator is a legal term. It refers to somebody who arbitrates, somebody who sits in the middle between two parties who just can't get along anymore. And the mediator then tries to help those parties reconcile, being able to live with each other again, at least, you know, be able to put up with each other, somehow come back together again. And so Christ mediates or arbitrates between man and God because man's rebellion caused a division between us and God. So he's the mediator of a covenant that it says is superior to the old one. It's new. And in advertisement, what's usually follows those two words? It's new and improved. Very good, yes. It's new and improved. It's new and improved. It's superior to the old covenant. And then back to the verse, it says, it's established on better promises. And we're going to see what those promises are later in verses 10 through 12. But as we keep reading, verse 7 tells us, "For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant," whoa, wait a minute. There was something wrong with the first covenant? The first covenant was faulty? I thought God didn't make mistakes. Well, the one thing we have to remember is that a covenant takes two parties. It says, if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But verse 8 tells us, "But God found fault with the people." Oh, there it is. There's the problem. Me, you, us, mankind. God says, you weren't able to keep that covenant, so I'll make a new covenant, which actually shows his grace. Because I don't know if any of you can remember about 13, 14 years ago. I know I'm really asking you to go back in the memory banks. But I remember standing up there with that pulpit there, and I had my two sons. I don't know if you remember, my sons were down here. And I had them walk through the process of cutting a covenant. It was a whole ritual that they went through back in that day. And one of the pieces, one of the parts of it was that you took an animal and you sacrificed it. You cut that animal up and you laid it on two sides with all the blood running in the middle of it. And you walked like in an infinity symbol. And that was significant. But you're walking through this. And one of the vows you made was that if I break this covenant, may the same thing happen to me that happened to this animal. You're basically saying this covenant is established until death. And as long as we're all alive, and if I break this covenant, then the consequences are fatal. It's a very, very binding covenant. If you want to think of it more positively, it's like when we say, till death do we part. And so this idea is that if we broke a covenant with God, well then, we have every right to be destroyed. But instead of God saying, you broke this covenant, so I'm going to wipe you out, he says, I'll make a new covenant with you. And then the author starts to quote Jeremiah. As we read in verse 8, God found fault with the people when he said, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. And then he starts listing the main points of this new covenant. Verse 9, it will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors. Okay, he's acknowledging the first covenant just didn't work. And then he adds a note about his nature. He says, it's not going to be like the one I made with your ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. So what do we see about his nature here? We see love. We see compassion. We see concern. He led them by the hand. It doesn't say that he herded them like cattle or he led them like a general. No, he took them by the hand like a loving father and led them out of trouble. But then he says the covenant won't be like the covenant he had with them because it says they didn't remain faithful to my covenant. They had a what have you done for me lately kind of attitude, if you remember. Think of it like this. Now, for some of you, this is going to be easier than others, but imagine you're a dad, okay? Everybody just kind of close your eyes or think about you're a dad. Imagine that you are a dad who spends all day working to support your wife and your three kids. And I realize women go to work, but just for this analogy, I need you all to just think of being a dad. So you've done this. You go to work every day to support, to provide for your kids, your family, just like you've been doing for the last 20 years, the last 25 years, the last 30 years. And one day you come home and you find your family trapped in the burning house. The fire department hasn't even got there yet. So you run in. You find your kids, you find your wife, you grab their hands, you lead them to safety, get them outside the house, the fire department arrives, they put out the fire, but there's all this confusion, all this chaos, but you're huddled together, probably bent over a little bit because you've got smoke in your lungs, but you're just so thankful that you were able to get those family members out of the house, your wife and your kids. And then when everything kind of settles down, and you said that you want to take them to a hotel to provide some temporary accommodations for them until you can find a new home, a new permanent residence. Well, they kind of look at each other funny, look at you a little funny, and instead of going with you to that hotel, they decide they want to live with the guy next door. They go over there, they start living with him, and they start calling him dad. Your wife starts loving him, starts calling him honey. How would you feel? Not too good. And there's probably all kinds of words that you can put in there. And most of those would be how God felt. Betrayed. Jealous. Forgotten. Not loved. He says, I took your hand. I led you out of Egypt. I pulled back the waters so you could cross on dry land. I let the waters go so it would drown all those soldiers that were chasing you. I traveled with you every day. I gave you manna when you were hungry. I gave you water from a rock when you were thirsty. You wanted Moses to talk with me, so I spent some time with him. We put together the terms of this covenant you wanted. But before he was even back down to the bottom of the mountain, here you are calling somebody else God. And you're loving something else besides me. So they broke the covenant. And it says in the end of verse 9 there, "And I turned away from them, declares the Lord." So God sets the stage for why a new covenant is needed. And here's the first thing that's going to change. Verse 10, "This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts." The old covenant was literally written in stone. But it was all about obedience. It was all about concern about the consequences. It was an outward kind of covenant. This new covenant is going to be written on their hearts. It's all about love. It's about concern about a relationship. It's going to be an inward covenant. Think about growing up as a child. When I thought about this, I thought about when I was younger, when I was little, my parents told me that there were certain things that I was supposed to do and certain things that I shouldn't do. And if I didn't do the things I should do, or if I did do the things I shouldn't do, well, then there were consequences. There was discipline. And for some of the bigger issues, either I obeyed or I got the paddle. And I'm not talking about a yardstick. I'm talking about a thick paddle. So for many years, I made my decisions based on a fear of the paddle. But eventually, I got to a point where I made my decisions based on how my parents were going to feel, how they were going to react. Not thinking about the next step with the consequences, but just genuinely concerned about their feelings, how I'm going to make them feel with my actions. It was more about relationship than it was about obedience. And that's what God wanted. It's what God still wants. Are you living your life based on a fear of hell or based on a love of God? Do you go to church because you're supposed to? Or because you genuinely want to sit in his presence with other believers? The idea of relationship over obedience then is reinforced in the second part of this verse. As we finish verse 10, he says, "I will be their God and they will be my people." He wants this covenant to be based on a close relationship. And this really isn't anything new. Back in Exodus, before he led the Israelites out of Egypt, he says, "I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God." Then in verse 11, he says, "No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." The knowledge of God will not be reserved for just a privileged few, just these high priests that they knew about at that time. You don't need to go hear about God just from the high priests. And that's not just an old, ancient thinking. It's not that old. When I was up in Lehighton, I was surprised to hear one of the older ladies tell me about how she grew up only hearing about God from her priest. She wasn't allowed to try to learn about God through any other source. And so she was thrilled when she got the chance one day to sit and read a Bible for herself. And she said God came alive for her when that happened. That's what God's saying here. Everyone who enters the covenant will have knowledge of God from the least of them to the greatest. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't still get together for Bible studies or small groups. Teaching is still beneficial. So anybody who has a knowledge of the Lord should share it, yes. But everyone in the covenant will have their own personal and intimate knowledge of God. Verse 12, the end of the quote here says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." If you were here for our Christmas Eve service, you remember that I mentioned there are people who live as though God is some kind of cosmic scorekeeper, tallying up when you're good, tallying up when you're bad, and you're just hoping that there's enough good tallies to outweigh or to make up, or at least to equal the bad tallies. But Jesus came to wipe that slate clean. In fact, he came to throw away the scoreboard, throw away the slate. In this new covenant, sins are forgiven, not just atoned for in the past, not just this atoning sacrifice that they had. They required a new sacrifice every year. It only appeased God and kept him from punishing them for their sins that they had committed the previous year. They were living based on a fear of the paddle. Under the new covenant, they would live with the promises that their sins are forgiven once and for all. Jesus destroyed the power of sin and the penalty of sin. And then at this point, the author stops quoting Jeremiah, makes his own comment. He says, by calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. Has anyone here ever used a Victrola? Okay. Yeah. And some people don't even know what I'm talking about. How about a transistor radio? Maybe out in the workshop, guys, you know, or out in the garage. Okay, so transistor radios. Things that we used for hearing music, right? I remember my first car. I got a Mustang that had a nice 8-track player in it. We'll explain what 8-tracks are later. But unfortunately, 8-tracks were just going out, and now cassettes were the big thing. So I actually had to go to, I think it was a Radio Shack, an 8-track to cassette converter. It was this big honking thing that I had to shove into the 8-track player. It had the flip for the cassette. You put that down, push a button, and you could play that cassette in the 8-track player. The only problem was every time I shifted into third gear, I'd hit the fast-forward button, and all of a sudden they're singing like Mickey Mouse. But it was a new way for me to be able to hear the music that I wanted to hear. These were all ways that we could listen to music. How about when we wanted to call somebody? Payphones. We don't even see them anymore, but how many of you used a payphone at some point? Made sure you had some quarters in or dimes or whatever in your pocket. Yep. Or even, not even that far back, if you just want to sit in your house and make a phone call on your rotary phone, right? Yep. Okay, what is it? Yeah, okay. Or if you had a party line and somebody else is already talking or something, you can overhear somebody else's comment. All sorts of ways to call people, right? And if you wanted to write something, we won't go all the way back to quill pens, but pen and paper, right? How about typewriters that would stick? You know, you had to take the keys apart. Okay. So all these ways that we did things before, and did they work? Yeah, they worked. Do we still use them? Not so much, right? Record players are kind of making a revival, I know, but we don't use these things quite so much. But did we stop using them because there was something wrong with them? No, we already said they worked. It's just that something better came along. The new things made those old things obsolete and very valuable if you can sell them. It doesn't mean that there was something wrong with those old things. It's just that something better came along. The new covenant made the old covenant obsolete because it's a better, new, improved covenant, and it took its place. And so as you enjoy your new year that the Lord has given you, I pray that you have also accepted God's new way of salvation, his new covenant. I pray that you're not still trying to get tallies in the good column and worried about tallies in the bad column. And today then, as you remember Jesus and his participation in this new covenant, I hope you will take these elements not out of ritual or not out of strictly just obedience, but out of love for Jesus and genuinely thinking of him as he commanded us to do when we do take communion. And so let's prepare our hearts, prepare ourselves to receive these elements, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, because of your tender mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by the offering of himself suffering once, made a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the world. And in his gospel, he has instituted a memorial of his death and instructed that we continue it until his coming again. So, gracious Father, we come to this table trusting in your great mercies. May we receive this sacrament with devout, believing, and grateful hearts as we receive the bread and the juice in memory of his passion. May his death be ever before us, quickening us to a holy resolve to hate sin, to love Christ, and to serve you through him. Amen. I'll ask the ushers to come forward. Serve God's people. We know that in the night that our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he got his disciples together so that they could have a meal. And during that meal, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to each of them saying, "This is my body given for you. Take now and eat." Serve God's people. And in the same way then, during that meal, he took the cup. And he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." And he said, "Take this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." And so remembering Jesus, take and drink. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We know it's a ceremony that we perform, but it's an institution that Jesus asked us to do. And so we thank you for the salvation that it represents, the saving, the passion that it represents, what Jesus has done for us. And we just thank you that we have this opportunity to remember it often. Amen. Thank you. And we read that after the meal, they sang a hymn. So I encourage you to stand, if you're able, and join me in singing our final hymn, "I Come With Joy." The God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.